Back home again in dear old Elmhurst, and it seems that I can see the gleaming front porch lights still burning bright through the seven wards of trees. The backyard skunks send all their fragrance through the streets I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on her salt creek, how I long for my great big Elmhurst home.
Golly!
And now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
Welcome to another edition of the E-Town Lowdown. We have a really exciting show for you here today. We have folks from the Elmhurst American Legion Post 187 right in South Elmhurst. Start a little bit with some background. This is Rick here, and we're with our friends PK and Robbie. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, PK.
Hey, good to see you. Good to hear you.
You know, none of the three of us served our country. We have some friends and relatives who served our country. I have, my father and grandfather served our country. My son's currently a reservist with the United States Marine Corps. And I always felt like I could give a little bit more. And so my way of doing it is to get involved with the American Legion Post in Elmhurst. PK, you've got a lot of service in your family, too.
Yeah, a little bit. My father was in the Navy, and my brother was in the Navy. And then my son now is a cadet in the ROTC program at the University of Colorado, and he'll be commissioned in May. So I guess my biggest contribution is giving my son.
Robbie, you were in the KISS Army, right?
Thanks a lot for that.
Yes.
That was great. That was great in the 70s.
Did you like my costumes?
But so we have a couple of guests here today. We have the commander of the Elmhurst American Legion, THB Post 187, right? Commander John Scudder?
That's a Roger, Rick.
Glad to have you here, John. And we also have the Sergeant at Arms, Mr. William Shanklin, goes by Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Great. Why don't you tell us, you guys decide who wants to take it. Tell us a little bit about the history of the American Legion in general, not just your post, but how it was founded, what its purpose is.
Okay. The American Legion was founded right after World War I, believe it or not, in Paris, France. That was the first Legion post. And it was formed there because a majority of the American Army was still there. And it is an organization that's a service organization, and its primary function is to help veterans. And that's what we still do today. The American Legion, again, will be 100 years old coming up next year. And it has been a very, very strong force in veterans benefits from that particular time. It was a driving force to get the Veterans Administration Hospital started. It has lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to protect veterans' rights and to make sure that the things that Congress votes for us, that we do get. On a local level, our post is close to Hines VA Hospital, and we work very, very closely with the veterans who need help.
What year was the post founded?
Our post was founded in 1919.
The same year as
the same year, okay. Correct.
And the THB in the name, what does that stand for?
Those are the initials of three individuals who were killed in World War I. And because of the day that it started, these three individuals were from Elmhurst. They all died at age 18 and 19, and they were in the 33rd Division, which was a National Guard division. From the state of Illinois, especially in the northern part of it. So that's where it started, and that's THB, represents the initials of those three individuals.
So what was, Bill, when you when the post was founded, what was your position?
I was still thinking about it. Maybe my father was still thinking about it.
So we can kind of glean from your title of commander what you do. You've got overall responsibility for
that's
the post.
Correct.
How about sergeant-at-arms? What does a sergeant-at-arms do?
Well, he thinks he runs the post, but actually the sergeant-at-arms, we call the shots. You know, we say what we can do, what we can't do. But basically it's to keep good order of the post, make sure everybody that comes in is welcomed, and just make sure things work the way they're supposed to work. And with that responsibility comes being the commander of the honor guard.
How many members are there at the post?
Well, let's say right now we've probably got around 550. When I joined 16 years ago, it was over 800. And I think in our heyday, it was over 1,000.
Wow. Yeah, it was. Those are primarily World War II and Korean War veterans. And they flocked to veterans organizations out of after that conflict, because there were 16 million men and women under arms at that particular time. There was a picture that I saw in 1946 of the Memorial Day parade going down York Road right in front of the York Theater, and it looked like a battalion. I mean, there were so many members and auxiliary members. It was really stunning to see.
Do you have to be a member? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would like to add one thing about THB, the meaning of THB, Timrat, Hintz, and Buck. Those were the three young men that were killed in World War I from Elmhurst.
And their grandniece for Buck is still a member. She's a member of the auxiliary, and she has a son who's a sergeant major in the United States Marine Corps.
And like Bob was saying, there's a lot of events that go on there. Do you have to be a member of the post to attend those events?
Not at all. We're open to the public.
Right.
And that means any event that we hold is open to the public if they want to attend.
Right.
We've reinstituted the car shows, and that's open to the public. We're open, you know, for lunch.
Right.
And anytime somebody wants to come in, they can just walk right in the door.
So we've already established that the members of the KISS Army are not eligible for membership. Tell us which branches of the military are eligible for membership, and what other membership requirements.
Anybody who served honorably in any of the armed services of the United States, the Army, the Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, and Coast Guard, are eligible to join the American Legion. And to become an auxiliary member, you have to be related to somebody who has served in the military, and that's the same thing for the Sons of the American Legion. Military service in the United States, a military is a requirement.
I would add one thing. It has to be wartime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the stipulations. We bring that up in Congress, I think, about every year to try to get that changed. But to be a member of the American Legion, you have to have served during war.
Oh, okay. Is that a distinction between the American Legion and the VFW?
What it is in the VFW, you have to serve overseas in a war zone or what they call a hot zone. The American Legion, you have to serve during wartime, but it can be in anywhere in the world. Oh. You don't have to be in a combat theater.
Gotcha.
That is the primary difference. We welcome all veterans. The VFW is selective in who they take because of their rules that you have to be in that those particular zones.
And many of our people belong to both organizations.
Right. And no, I do too, to the VFW and to the American Legion.
And I've heard of the auxiliary. What are they all about, the American Legion auxiliary?
The auxiliary are made up by, it's for women,
okay.
Their husbands, brothers, you know, uncles have served, and they join. And it's the same thing. They're there for service. They help us whatever we have to do. And a lot of them go out of their way. Let's say mailing packages overseas is a big thing for them. They'll get together with all the packages and send what we call a care package to the troops, to guys on ships that might not be able to get to certain areas to buy things. And we send it out there to them. We get their names, or we send it right to a ship and then they distribute it, or we send it right to a military company or squadron and let them distribute it.
Nice. Very nice.
What about the Sons of the American Legion? Can you tell us about those?
Bill, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I have my three grandchildren, 10 years, 7 years, and soon to be 3 years. They're all members of the Sons of the American Legion. And you can join if you had a father, grandfather that was a veteran and in the American Legion, you can join. I'm not quite sure all the activities that they get involved in, but again, it's to support the post in any way that they can.
And my three grandsons are also members of the Sons of the American Legion. And it's going to start a family tradition like that.
Do you have any cooperative programs with local VFWs, maybe Villa Park or something like that?
We used to be very, very much involved in, we still are to a certain certain extent, is our Thanksgiving for the troops. We go up to Great Lakes Naval Training Center on Thanksgiving. We pick up the amount of recruits that they'll let us have, and we bring them back down to the post, and then they have a complete Thanksgiving meal. The library in Elmhurst donates computers for them to use. Members donate their cell phones so these people can call home for the same time. We used to do it in conjunction with them, but now we have split off. They want to do their particular thing for Thanksgiving, and we have ours. But that was a collaborative effort at one time.
Bill, you mentioned the Color Guard. Tell us a little bit about the Color Guard at your post and some of the activities you do that maybe some of the folks in town don't know about.
Well, we serve the community in a lot of ways for veterans, funerals. Some of the local organizations will ask for us to post colors or at least advise them on how to do that, how to render honors to the colors. For example, the hospital has contacted us on a couple of occasions. We actually get contacts from out of state by the Army to help render honors to a fallen person. About a year and a half ago, we had an occasion to render a firing party at the gravesite for a lieutenant colonel that died on active duty. Now, I don't know why they couldn't do it, but they called us and said, can you put a firing party out there to render honors? Stuff like that. Another major thing that we've done that has gone kind of unrecognized is we helped develop the Honor Guard 101 class with the fire department here. We don't hold classes anymore, but that's a week-long training. We trained approximately 500 firefighters and law enforcement people across the country to include Guam, Alaska, and a lot of the states. One other thing that I would mention about the VFW, VFW used to be here, and they left and joined the Villa Park. One of their members, Dave Gass, is still a member of our Elmhurst Memorial Commission. And he's an active member. They still participate in our Veterans Day and our Memorial Day program. So they're kind of still active with us, but not sure how much longer that's going to last.
Specifically, what kind of assistance do you give vets that might need help with benefits?
That's an area that I love to take care of. We've had many people walk in and family members with the former service members. They're trying to get into Heinz VA, the paperwork that takes. If a loved one has died and they want to get cemetery marker, the headstones, the flag and things like this. A lot of people don't know how to go through the paperwork, who to see, where to turn to, especially with a death because it still stings and they are running into walls dealing with the government paperwork. And we help them with that. We make sure that it gets to the right place. To the right person. If need be, we'll take a person that wants to get the VA, the Veterans Administration Hospital care. We'll take them out there, get them signed up, let them see the right people, and we can do an end run around government paperwork and get them taken care of right away. We've had several people that were paying, let's say, $1,000 to $1,200 a month for medicine, and we've gotten them into the VA system for their medicine, and it's reduced it to 60 to 80 bucks a month. So these are things that we can do for people. We don't know they're out there, but if they come to us, we're more than willing to take them. If somebody has an appointment at the VA and can't get there because whatever reason, they'll never turn away. Somebody will take them out there, wait for them, and bring them back. So we do things like that all the time.
You know, one thing that goes unsaid that is meaningful to veterans, it's just to have a place to come to and talk to other people that have like experiences or would understand what you're talking about. I can think of a couple of people at the post that the fact that they're, it changes their, it gives them a place to go and some place they can feel comfortable. I had a person tell me not too long ago, gee, I wish I'd have joined before because I feel like I just came home.
Wow, that's
sometimes
nice.
Sometimes helping veterans just to have a place, you know, somebody to talk to that might understand what they've done.
I have a question of personal interest. Do you guys have any involvement or know of anybody that's involved with the Patriot Guard writers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. One of our auxiliary members, Sher Conrad Smith, is very, very big into that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, last year we started the process of seeing if we could get that at our post also.
Okay.
I don't know where that's at right now, but that would sure be a boon.
I'll bring my moped.
Well, for those that don't know, those are the people that ride motorcycles in procession, like say for actually a funeral a veteran or welcoming home a veteran or all kinds of things like that. But it seemed like an interesting thing that I might be able to get involved in.
We have had that. We've been very big into the honor flights for both the Korean War veterans and World War II veterans. Our people have been down there at Midway Airport when they get off the plane.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
It is. And if you've never seen it, you can go there and there's not a dry eye in the place.
Right.
No, you literally get the chills.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Actually, I'm getting the chills remembering going to that.
It's quite a sight to see that these guys that are in their late 80s and 90s are finally getting the recognition that they deserve so many years ago. And I mean, it's bagpipers, bands, people cheering, people walking up, shaking their hands, thanking them for their service and things like that.
Rick,
it's really nice.
Rick, refresh my memory. Who was the guy my brother took from Elmhurst who was a World War II vet?
You talking about Marv?
Yeah, Marv was
Marv Mishnick?
Yes, that my brother took on the honor flight.
On the honor flight?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I was at Midway when he came back.
That was something to see, wasn't it?
That was awesome.
It was.
So cool.
And we've done that quite often. And it's just something that we do. As Bill said, some of these guys come in and this is the only place that they can talk to. There's a lady in town whose brother is a Vietnam veteran, and he was having problems. And about 4 months ago, he started coming in. And she says it just changed his whole life
right.
in the way that he approaches life and how he feels about himself. Because he can come in, and there's guys with similar experiences. There's guys that experienced the military. They can talk in the language, the jargon of the military. And that's something that we do. And to us, it's an everyday occurrence. But to see somebody who sees it from the outside and comes in and tells you, hey, this really changed a way of thinking. You go,
right.
That's what we're here for.
There is a brotherhood and sisterhood that
exactly.
Exists nowhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm fond of saying that the whole key to the situation is that sometime in your career, some drill sergeant got in your face about something. So we all have something in common.
Those drill sergeants, they're tough guys, and I avoid them at all costs.
Sounds like there's one or two in the room.
There just might be. So, John, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you ended up in the service and how you've served.
Okay. I grew up in Elmhurst. I graduated from IC grade school and high school. And
go Knights.
That was it. And my first semester in college turned out to be something like Animal House, if you've ever seen that particular movie. With
John Belushi,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was my first semester in college, and as we left, they literally said, "You're into the draft board," and all dreams came true.
What fine college was able to enjoy your company for a semester there?
It was the University of Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I wound up in the military, and
they were
like,
lucky to have you.
And
it was either that or jail.
No, that one I missed. But the thing was, all of a sudden, I got there and I said, "This is a madhouse in basic training." I said, "If my mother saw how they were treating me, she'd have me out of here in 20 minutes." But all of a sudden, it clicked, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And I spent 30 years in the military, and about 20 of it in the Illinois Army National Guard. And for me, the places I was stationed and the places that I've seen and the people I've met, I wouldn't take $1 million for it. I've been retired now for 15 years, and to my mind, it's like it was yesterday.
Nice.
And it was always nice to be in uniform, and it was always nice to say, I'm an American soldier, no matter where I was. It was the pride of being an American, being a soldier in it, and doing good for the world.
That's awesome. I'm getting the chills just hearing you say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I would say about John, he was a first sergeant. And in the military chain of command, if there's a single position in the entire chain of command whose sole responsibility is the welfare of the troops, it's that first sergeant. They got eyes in the back of their head.
Yes, we do.
They hear everything. They know everything. Yeah, don't surprise them. Don't tangle with them ever.
That's very true. And one of the greatest things about being a first sergeant in the Army is that you're the top soldier in a company of 250 men and women. And that's what you're called. You're called top. And that's quite an honor. I still love to be called top.
Well, it's an honor that you had to earn.
Oh, yes, definitely. You had to go through the schools. You came up through the ranks. But one of the greatest things in something like that is to see a kid come in who's never accomplished anything, who's never been told by his parents to do something, or a person with low esteem. And you bring them into the unit, and you can spot this right off the bat. And you put them on a buddy system, a battle buddy system, and you put them with an individual that is very popular, can dance, is a good athlete, very smart, and you put him with him, and you watch this other person develop this individual and bring them along. If they're socially awkward, we had maybe about five females, they would always zero in on this kid, take him to the PX when we were on mobilized, get him modern clothes, made him look great, got him the right haircut, make sure he didn't go downtown with an umbrella and a water bottle. And they taught him to dance, and they took him under his arm. And for the first time in that individual's life, he had friends.
Where do I sign up? I could use that
Bill,
training.
Tell us a little bit about where, I know you didn't grow up in Elmhurst, where you grew up, how you came to Elmhurst, and tell us about your military service.
Well, I was born in Tennessee, West Tennessee. Yeah, I'm a cotton picker. That's my first job, was picking cotton in West Tennessee on a farm. Fast forward a little bit, my dad got really sick, and we couldn't farm anymore, so we moved to Chicago when I was about 12, 13 years old. Finished the eighth grade, Lemoyne, in the shadow of Wrigley Field, Lemoyne Grammar School. Graduated from Lakeview High School. Got involved in the junior ROTC program, graduated the battalion commander. In fact, I'm still involved with the unit there. I go to their military ball every year and donate money to the cause. Went into the Army right out of high school, 17 years old, and Mom and Dad had to sign for me. And I was thinking about college, but I didn't think I was ready for it. And I had a knack for the military. I liked that lifestyle. I thought that was my way out and my way to find direction and find my way in the world. Maybe I was going to stay in. Actually, I wanted to go to OCS, but the recruiter didn't tell me you had to be 18 and a half to do that. So I couldn't do that once I got into basic training. But the training that I did receive in the junior ROTC program actually resulted in me being the assistant platoon sergeant for my basic training company, or platoon. And I had my own room in basic training after the second week. So then from there, I went into the Army Intelligence Corps, and from there, Special Forces, and then from there, out after 6 years.
Nice. Tell us, John, a little bit about your career, what you do now outside of the military.
Do you want to know what I did in the military to begin with, or
The stories you can share.
Okay. I started out as what they call a 64 Charlie with an R designator, which means I was a track mechanic. And the R designator was for recovery. In my first years in the Army, I was a crew member on what we call the M88 tank retriever, which is a vehicle that goes out and picks up tanks that are disabled, stuck in the mud, or have just broken down. It weighed about 77 tons, was 22 feet long, 11 feet wide, and 12 feet high. And it was literally a Goliath. A lot of places, especially in Germany, you couldn't go over the bridges, so you had to ford rivers or go some other way. And what I learned still stays with me to this day is, yes, you're out there, you're dirty, you're in the mud, you're crawling around with cables, it's a dangerous job, but it taught me to do the job right. It taught me to do the job complete, and it taught me to look out for other people, because if I made a mistake, somebody could have been seriously hurt. And it stayed with me. And
I was going to say, by the way, you're like 19 years old, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, and awesome. Civilian life, you couldn't even get a driver's license to run a wrecker. But yeah. You have 19-year-old kids doing this, and they're still doing it. And these sergeants that I worked for were just marvelous guys. They were just tough professionals, and they demanded a lot. And if you met their standards, you had you really accomplished something.
Right.
And that's what stayed with me during my entire career. As a squad leader, a platoon sergeant, the first sergeant. And one of the things I like to bring out that I love telling these stories as a first sergeant and watching a kid develop. Here's a kid that comes in, he needs direction. You've put him with a person that has all his charisma. He's latched onto that. And finally, one day you walk up to him and you go, Sergeant or Private Tent Peg, I need barbed wire strung around this area. You have 3 hours to do it. Pick your crew. I don't care how you do it. You're responsible. Get it done. Then you fade into the background, and you look at him. All of a sudden, he takes charge of something. For the first time in that young man's life, right. He's in charge of something, and he has to get it done. And he can't slough it off. It's all on him. And that's how they start their careers. All of a sudden, you watch them grow and get things done. The other thing is watching young people come in with an idea what they want to do. Hey, I want to be a mechanic. And you get them into the motor pool and you get them trained and they can go into civilian life and they can get themselves a job as a mechanic. You can watch a kid that says, hey, I want to be a chef. They come in and they get into food service. And I have one individual that I'm still in touch with that did that, took his GI Bill and came out and went to culinary school. And now he's with a large hotel chain. Goes around the world and sets up their menu and things of that nature. So you watch kids grow that way. Another one wanted to be an airplane mechanic. We got him into Army helicopters with the jet engines. And all of a sudden, that's what he did in life. He took his GI Bill, went to Lewis University, got a degree in aircraft maintenance. And these young people are on their way. So it's more than let's get up, do PT, reveille, formations, and things like that. It's an advancement of these people's lives, if that's the direction that they want to follow. And they use the military as the launch pad for a successful life.
Absolutely.
So tell us what else you're up to now outside of the post. Tell us about your family and what keeps you busy.
Just about everything. I'm married 40 years to my wife, Toby. I have two daughters, three great-grandsons. And I'm retired from the waste business. I spent over 30 years in the waste business. Starting out as a driver, and even though you had a college degree at that particular time, anytime you got into that business, you started out on the trucks. And the CEO
learned it from the ground up.
Exactly. And the CEO did that. And so I worked my way up through the trucks, operations, inside sales, outside sales. And then I finally wound up before I retired as a regional director for construction sales. And what this was is we provided everything that you've seen on a construction site, the roll-off boxes, office trailers, portable toilets, and fencing. And I was responsible for the northern part of Illinois on that.
Excellent.
Awesome. Bill, tell us a little bit about your family and your career outside of the military.
Well, I have two daughters. They both live here in Elmhurst with their husbands. They're lawyers. I have three grandchildren, soon to be 10, 7, and 3. I'm currently the president of Champion Container Corporation. We're a manufacturer of corrugated boxes and distributor of shipping material supplies and material handling equipment in Wooddale. Used to be in Elmhurst, but we outgrew some of the buildings that would be available. We occupy about 100,000 square foot facility there in Wooddale. I've worked for both small companies and the Fortune 100 companies in my career. I've lived in Southern California for about 7 years for a local company. Was president of a company in Raleigh, North Carolina. Came back and actually I was thinking about retiring, but bumped into some people and wanted me to kind of use the experience I've gained in working for these larger companies to help build the businesses, and that's what I've done.
I know that a year or two ago, you received the Elmhurst JC's Distinguished Service Award. You don't receive that without a lot of volunteer work. So tell us about some of the volunteer work that you do currently. You don't even talk about the stuff you used to do. Well, you're involved in a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, I'm Well, with the American Legion, of course, I get around town quite a bit. I'm a trustee in the library, a member of the Elmhurst Veterans Memorial Association, chairman of the Elmhurst Economic Development Commission, and member of the Rotary. So, and several other veterans organizations. I'm a member of the Former Intelligence Officers Association and Chapter 37 of the Special Forces Association.
Busy guy. Let's take a quick break here on the Lowdown. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Beth Harper, Director of the Elmhurst Public Library, and you're listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts Robbie and Rick, but PK is the one with all the talent.
Assistant groundskeeper, I can't afford cable TV. The Dalai Lama himself recommended I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Okay, we're back here on the E-Town Lowdown with my personal favorite segment, the E-Town Lowdown Mowdown, where we are going to mow down our special guests, John Scudder and Bill Shanklin from the Elmhurst American Legion THB Post 187 to their very core. We'll start with Commander Scudder.
Officer or enlisted?
Enlisted.
Stand or kneel?
Stand all the time.
Infantry or airborne?
Neither.
Europe or Asia?
Both.
KP or latrine duty?
I'll always take latrine duty.
Jalapeno cheese spread or chocolate peanut butter packets?
I'm going to take that jalapeno. Fire you up.
Spicy. Rifle or pistol?
I'm always going to take the rifle.
F Troop or CPO Sharky?
I would say CPO Sharky.
SOS or MRE?
I'm going to take SOS, pal.
Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi.
Paris Hilton or Paris France?
Paris France.
Super salad.
It's going to be soup.
Patton or MacArthur?
Patton.
Norman Lear or Norman Schwarzkopf?
I'm going to take Schwarzkopf.
Here's a trick question. Navy or Air Force?
Well, we're going to have to take the Navy.
Wax or waves?
Both.
Oh, nice.
Politically correct. Yes. I never knew these guys to be politically correct before.
We're trying hard.
MASH or Hogan's Heroes?
Let's try MASH.
The Dirty Dozen or the Big Red One?
I'm going to take the Dirty Dozen.
Academy or ROTC?
ROTC.
Amen.
All right.
Jane Fonda.
Booyah.
Jane Fonda or Jane Mansfield?
I'm going to take Jane Mansfield.
Smart man.
Bob Hope or Bob Dylan?
Let's take Bob Hope.
Grand Canyon or Yellowstone?
Both.
Bison or buffalo?
Both.
What would you eat for your last meal?
I'd have corned beef hash, two eggs over easy, and some hash brown potatoes.
You're a cheap date.
I am.
I got to ask, best place to get that?
U.S. Army.
Wow. Now I'm starting to think you're brainwashed. Carson or Leno?
Leno.
Flintstones or Jetsons?
Let's go with the Flintstones.
And the last question for Commander Scudder. Chevrons or bars?
Let's take chevrons.
Good answers, mostly correct, but not all.
I can spell chevrons.
You ready, Sergeant at Arms Shanklin?
Yes, I am.
Section 8 or figure 8?
Neither.
Jimmy Stewart or Jimmy Doolittle?
Stewart.
Bingo or Queen of Hearts?
Queen of Hearts.
Go Fasters or Combat Boots?
Combat Boots.
Hot Lips Houlihan or Miss Buxley?
Hot Lips.
McHale's Navy or Gomer Pyle USMC?
Neither.
Admiral Nelson or Captain Morgan?
Nelson.
Colonel Sanders or Colonel Mustard?
That's a tough one. Probably both.
CBs or C rations?
CBs.
Phone call or text?
Phone call.
West Virginia or West Chicago?
That's a tough one. West Virginia, I think.
Benny Goodman or Benny and the Jets?
Goodman.
Beetle Bailey or G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe.
Tokyo Rose or Edward R. Murrow?
Edward R. Murrow.
Service or mess uniform?
Mess uniform.
Captain Kangaroo or Captain Kirk?
Captain Kangaroo.
Joe Louis or Muhammad Ali?
Joe Louis.
Corporal Klinger or Corporal Punishment?
Corporal Punishment.
Sergeant at Arms.
That's it.
Pinot Grigio or Pinot Noir?
Pinot Grigio.
Corrugated or cardboard?
Corrugated.
Racquetball or handball?
Handball. Sissies play racquetball.
I know it's coming.
I got to agree. Audi or Mercedes?
Mercedes.
Yes. Hoorah.
Let's ask him again.
Pains me to ask that question.
Jump or get pushed?
Jump.
41 or 43?
42.
Really? Sorry, that wasn't a choice.
That's Bill Clinton.
43.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Trees or power lines?
Trees, definitely.
Warm or cold potato salad?
Cold.
Okay, here's a trick question. Rotary or touchtone?
Rotary.
You thought Kiwanis was coming, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought so.
And that's the last question here on the Eton Lowdown Mowdown. Robbie?
All right. There's a question I want to go back to. It has to do with Vietnam. How was the American Legion different then than any other time? Because they were coming back into maybe not such a friendly place.
Well, it goes back further than that. I think when you look at after World War I, the American Legion was formed, 1919, and then they were in the big war, and then World War II came, and more people got in the Legion, then there was Korea. Well, the vets in the VFW, American Legion, they didn't want the Korean people coming in because it wasn't a war. It was a police action, and so there was a bias already set up there. And then in the Vietnam situation, people coming in, they didn't want them. They didn't want Vietnam vets coming into the American Legion. I know one of our past commanders, he tried to sign up, and they said, we don't want you. You guys are a bunch of hippies. You're not, you guys aren't welcome in. It was that way for quite a while, too. And I didn't even get involved in it when I got out of the military in 1969. I didn't think about joining. In fact, I've only been a member of the American Legion for about 16 years. Getting an education, moving across country four times, just didn't have time for it. And but those were biases that happen in all organizations, not just the American Legion. But the Korean War guys weren't eagerly accepted, and the Vietnam guys, it was tough to get in there because of all the negative press about that war and about what our troops were doing over there. Of course, they didn't take time to understand the fact that we never lost a battle over there. And that's a fact. If you check it out. Sure, there were some bad things that happened, but more good than bad. John, what's your recollection?
It was basically about the same thing. And finally, it dawned on the membership that, hey, these guys, they're our soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard. They put it on the line. And there were bad things that happened, but it was more good than bad. And you can, these kids were just gallant. That's the only way that you can describe a bunch of 19-year-old draftees that are thrown into a war zone like that. And when they got out, 1 week they're there, 2 weeks later they're discharged and they're back out on the street. There wasn't any, what we call a rest period or something like that for them to chill out. So it was mutual antagonism, I guess you might say, at that particular time. And then slowly but surely, people began to realize that, hey, there's some valuable individuals out here coming back with this experience that we can use in the Legion. Finally, they accept it without any reservations. And this is something today that the American Legion does. We are the ones that are pushing for Agent Orange. They get these young men that are now in their 70s, late 60s, that are suffering from cancer that was caused by Agent Orange, the defoliant that they dumped all over specific areas to make sure the Viet Cong weren't hiding there. And these individuals today need help, and we're the ones that are pushing it and pushing Congress and the VA to recognize that this is something that the country is responsible for and also responsible for treating these individuals.
Can I ask how big the lobby is in Washington for the VFW? I'm sorry, for the American Legion.
It's big. I don't know the exact numbers, but there are people that are permanently attached there that work with Congress and the Senate. One of the things that they just pushed was when John McCain died, the president put the flag at half-mast for one day and then rose it. It took two calls, one from the American Legion and one from the American Legion again, and that flag went down to half-mast in a matter of minutes.
Amen.
So that's what they do.
I know there's been some publicity the last few years here in town about your post struggling a little bit financially. So, and we'll get into some of the efforts that you've made since then. But basically, what are your main sources of revenue?
Well, it's it varies. We have bingo. We have Chase the Heart, like every other organization. We have our fish fries. We have various events that we sponsor throughout the year to bring in income. And one of the better ones is this Cool Cars that's coming in on Thursdays.
We'll talk a little bit about that later. We've got some folks to help you discuss that. How about the banquet hall? Tell us about that.
Well, our banquet hall is open again to the public. Both sides, the what they call Cafe 187, which is the bar, and the Normandy Room Banquet Hall are available for rental. Those are good for weddings, family affairs, corporate events, and things like that, just like a regular banquet hall.
And you're open for lunch when?
We're open for lunch 5 days a week, 11 to 2, and also on Saturdays we have a lunch that's very good, starts at 12 and goes to about 2 o'clock for $5. So if you're ever in the neighborhood and you're hungry, come on in because the food is very, very good.
And the chief cook and bottle washer for that is?
Well, that is Bob Daniels, who's an Elmhurst resident and, of course, a member. He had one son that spent 8 years in the Navy and another that is an ensign in the Navy. And as a matter of fact, he was one of eight that were picked up by the Navy for a limited duty officer program. And the young man is just star-studded coming out of it as a chief petty officer into the officer ranks. And he's going to retire at a very high rank.
I like the Monte Cristo. It's very good.
They are good, aren't they?
Tell us a little bit about your effort to increase your revenue a few years ago with a city, how that all went down.
Well, we tried very hard to get to gaming.
And oh, yeah.
We wanted the city to okay it for us. And the other restaurants and taverns in town got wind of it, and they all showed up. But it was a complete shutdown. I was stunned by the amount of people that did show up that were negative to it. And we explained that it's just a veterans organization on the south end of Elmhurst, five machines in that particular, in the bar room, were not going to bring down property values in Elmhurst. People were not going to get on a bus and come out here to go gaming because they'd be coming from Cook County, which has legalized gaming.
Yeah, right.
And we tried very hard to get it, but it was shot down by individuals that just didn't want to see gaming in town or anything along those lines. Although they do populate stores that do have, your 7-Elevens, they do have lotteries and things of that nature.
Right.
So it was an eye opener, believe me.
I know you've had some grants from the city too.
Yes, we have.
You, foresee that continuing in the future, and
I'd like to see it. It gets rougher every year. We certainly have some strong individuals that are very, very pro-Legion. Alderman Mark Molnar, Alderman Norm Leader, and several others are very, very pro-Legion. And their help has just been, I guess, just astronomical.
And there's a military ball. Is that a fundraiser as well?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, again, that's Bill's expertise right there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next segment too. So
okay.
And how is the post doing financially right now?
We're holding our own. I wish I could say that we've cleared the wall, but we haven't. But we're holding our own, and we've had several events that have brought in more and more revenue to us. But we're still not back where we were, let's say, 15 years ago, and things of that nature.
We'll take a quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit about the military ball.
Hello, Pete Kruger here from the Elmhurst Independent Newspaper. When I want a good laugh, I listen to E-Town Lowdown. Even though Rick, Robbie, and PK podcast from a hot tub, they're three cool dudes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Steve Waddington and the Retro Rocket All-Stars. Woo! And when we're not rocking in Southern California, we listen to the E-Town Lowdown. This is love to Robbie and Rick. Woo! E-Town Lowdown, you know what I'm talking about.
Back here on the E-Town Lowdown from our two-person hot tub high above Butterfield Park with our special guests from the Elmhurst American Legion Post. We've got Commander John Scudder and Sergeant-at-Arms Bill Shanklin, and we've invited another guest to join us, Colonel Mark Mallon. And Colonel Mallon is the current chair and last year's chair of the Elmhurst American Legion Military Ball. Let's talk about that a little. Sergeant-at-Arms Shanklin, that was kind of your brainchild, and you were the inaugural chair of that. So just tell us how that all started.
Well, that was an idea that I had a few years, more than a couple, to try to get our community more aware of the American Legion, to try to bring people that have never been into the post to come and visit us, to see who we are, what we do. Learn a little bit about how we support veterans, how we support the community. So I thought a way to do that is with the military ball. Each year, I've been going to our Special Forces Association ball, and I figured we can do something like this, and they raise somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000 a year with that ball. So I said, why don't we can do that? And it took me a while to kind of get the motivation to do it, because it is a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. But I thought we'd give it a try, and some of the people, John got on board with it, and a few of the other people at the post, and said, yeah, let's do it. So we just did it, and it turned out to be a pretty good party. Everybody seemed to have a good time, and it's a place to go to learn a little bit about military tradition, military values, military culture. And I don't know, just get to know us a little bit, because I think there's a certain attitude that prevails about veterans in general, and they don't really understand that there's a wealth of history at that post, and a lot of people there, such as our colonel here, Mark. He's writing history with what he's doing, and you probably don't have time to go on his background, but I guarantee you. He's
oh, we'll do that in another job. Show. Don't worry. We're going to find him.
Good.
You should. So you recruited Colonel Mallon to chair the ball last year, and tell us how why he was the guy. Did he draw the short straw, or was there something else you saw there?
He didn't show up for the last meeting.
Is this true, Mark?
I think I wasn't paying attention at one point, and someone nominated me.
So tell us about last year's ball, and then and about this coming year's ball.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Again, as Bill said, one of the big things, most people in Elmhurst, unless you have someone in the family that's military, or unless you've been in the military, you don't really get to see the traditions of the military. And that's kind of important. And I think many people are very interested in it. So this gives the chance for the general public to come join us for a dinner. And as part of that dinner, they get to see how we would do a dinner on the military side. So if I was going to have a dinner with my unit, we call them dining outs. Dining in are for just military members, and dining outs are for members and family. So the idea is we give people an opportunity to come in and join us and see how a dining out is done, see the traditions that have gone down for 7,500 years as part of one of these dinners. What's so important, and what are the things we look at, and what are the things we bring into these that are critical that every military member has to know about and has to remember? And most of it, 99% of it, is remembering our fallen brothers and sisters. That's what these dinners do, is they remember our fallen brothers and sisters.
How many people usually attend these events?
We've grown as we go, slowly. Typically, I think, Bill, what was our number last year?
About 140, I think, attended.
140 last year.
Okay. It's on the 27th of October this year?
Saturday night, the 27th of October, correct. It starts with cocktails at 6:30, and we follow that with dinner and a program, and we're going to have a speaker coming in.
How does somebody get tickets? Oh, I'm sorry. How do people get tickets?
There's a couple ways to get tickets. You can call the Legion. The number's going to be posted at our website, the American
What's
Legion
post
website.
Number? Somebody What's over that? There. Help, help.
630-833-7800.
And you can watch for our banner, which will be on the underpass the first week of September. And following that, it will be on the fence outside of York High School, right at the corner of Spring and St. Charles Road. So kind of watch that. Don't take your eyes off the road, but kind of watch for the poster and get our information. But feel free to call the American Legion anytime and get our information about the event.
Can you say who the guest speaker is, or is that a secret at this point?
We're still working the guest speaker. We had, unfortunately, we like to bring in general officers for the military. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with the military,
is general officer, is that a 3-star general or
that can be any star general from 1-star up to 4-star?
Oh, that's not a specific general.
No, that's not a specific general. That's any rank, and that can be.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Carl.
No, in the Army we call them general officers. In the Navy they'll call them flag officers. But we had a general officer that we were going to have speak, but with their schedules, as you get to be up in rank, your schedule gets many times very unpredictable and gets busier as you go. And our speaker had to pull out, so we're in the process of bringing in or working another speaker to join us for that evening.
What's the cost for that event?
$120 a ticket.
Nice. And
that includes, though, the dinner, the entertainment, open bar. And also, one of the things that we decided not to do is there's no other split the pot. That's not the fundraising is in the price of the ticket.
I've been to the event the first 2 years, and it's outstanding.
Yeah, it is.
You're just in awe. We feel a little bit like kids learning a whole bunch about military tradition. And I know Robbie's been there, too. Yeah. We're trying to get PK there one of these days.
Actually, I was always interested in going. I just was never in town.
You were. You've had conflicts, and you've been a great supporter financially. So thank you.
Yeah. You just want me for my money anyway, right?
Right.
Well, you will have a good
time.
Or
if I bring my wife.
You will have a good time there. We had people that didn't want to leave.
It's a formal event. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black tie, optional.
Yeah, formal, semi-formal.
Comfortable, yeah.
And all your military cohorts, at least most of them, are in pretty nice uniforms.
Yeah, we're going to be in our dress uniforms with a bow tie in the military.
One thing I'd like to say is, and Bill gave me this idea, is that for $10 you get to dance with Bill Shanklin. And for $20, you don't have to. So we should raise a lot of money that way.
Here's my 20.
You got that wrong. It was 10 bucks to dance with you, the commander. I'm nothing. I'm just a sergeant at arms. I got to keep the peace, but you're the man.
At ease.
Do you know who the entertainment is this year, Colonel Mel?
Yep, the entertainment we're going to have back again this year. We're going to have the Elmhurst College Jazz Band.
Oh, they're great.
Fantastic organization. Yeah. They're just fantastic, and they're very supportive of us, so we're looking really forward to their music. As a matter of fact, 22 years ago, I had the Elmhurst College Jazz Band at my wedding. So they've been around a long time.
What's the date of your anniversary? Look, spit it out.
December 9th,
1995. Wow, that's pretty
interesting.
Pretty quick.
But they've been around, and they're fantastic music. So we're really looking forward to having them back again this year for the event.
And there's a color guard there too, right, Sergeant at Arms Shanklin?
Yes, we had the Elmhurst Police Department. They've been our color guard for the last two balls, and they'll probably be there again. Don't forget the bagpipers. They are one of the highlights of the evening. They're very, very good at what they do, and they have a lot of fun.
Food's been great. The entertainment's been great. The program's been great. I would encourage anybody that has a chance and has availability to go. And again, where can they get more information?
You call the post, ask for me or John or Mark.
630-833-7800.
That's correct. Yes, it is. And do you know the URL for the website off the top of your head? American Legion P187.org, maybe?
.org, yes, correct.
And, okay, so Colonel Mallon, tell us about where you grew up.
I grew up in Elmhurst.
Oh my gosh. Imagine that.
I'm one of those ones that grew up here and never left. Went to IC grade school and high school.
And where did you go to college?
I went to Illinois State.
And how did you end up in the military?
Went through ROTC for 4 years. I actually, Illinois State was kind of a late choice for me because I wanted to go out of state, but I couldn't afford it. And I showed up down there and all the classes were full and I needed credit hours. So I jumped into ROTC for a semester. I figured I'm never going to join the military. And then I got a scholarship, which paid my tuition and fees as long as I was in the program. So I figured I'd do it 2 years and quit. And then they offered me airborne school. Jump out of planes. Where do I sign? Went through 4 years.
Perfectly good planes?
Perfectly good planes.
You got to wonder about the guy Absolutely. Who jumps out of a perfectly good plane. There's at least a couple of you here,
it's
too.
Fearless. Exactly. It's fun.
He's an adrenaline enthusiast.
And then I got out of, I joined the military out of college, or I got my commission and started, and I figured I'd do my 6 years and get out. And 29 and a half years later, it's been the most amazing experience.
So you're still active reservist?
Correct. I'm still in the reserve.
And, you know, without telling us anything that would require you to kill us, what can you tell us about your current service and what you're doing?
I work for Special Operations Command in Tampa. I work for Joint Special Operations University. So we work with partner nations to help train the special operations units in partner nations to bring them up to speed. In many cases, in places like Africa and Europe. And if we can help bring these units up to speed and get them more skilled at what they do, it basically takes us away from having to be there.
Which is something that I've learned recently about the Army, and that's that they do a lot of things that are more diplomacy work than fighting. You know, it's not just about going and fighting. It's a lot of diplomacy that takes place.
It's diplomacy, but it's training. And in training other units, we're training ourselves as well.
Right.
So it's giving us a training opportunity as well as training other units and getting them better at what they do so they can do these things on their own.
Right.
Do you teach them how to kill?
No. I teach them psychological operations.
Okay.
How to change an attitude or behavior. Simple.
Okay.
You scare me. I don't know how else to say that.
It's marketing. That's what I'm doing. I'm teaching them marketing.
Oh, it's like... I got to say, for Laura, life's about marketing. That's my wife.
You
says
get them
it every
to
day.
Decide that they want to do what you want them to do, either through intimidation or...
No, there's absolutely no intimidation. Just like Pepsi does a really great commercial during the Super Bowl, and you remember that commercial, you laugh for 5 minutes, and then you go into 7-Eleven, and you open the cooler, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to have a Pepsi. I'm doing the same thing. I'm teaching someone to change an attitude or behavior to do something. And that may be, in many cases, I spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan, that may be teaching someone to vote, to support the government, to stop shooting at troops, to clean up their town. Simple things. But
see, this is the diplomacy thing I'm talking about.
And when I'm doing these things, I'm not doing it in my name with a U.S. picture on it. I'm doing it in the country that's there. I'm doing it in their name with Afghanistan, with the Afghan police or Afghan military. Hey, look at this Afghan military, how professional they are. These guys are really great. You want to join the military. Hey, look at the Afghan police. They're a very professional organization. If something happens that's bad, go to the police.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Family, I have two daughters, a senior at York, and I have an eighth grader at Sandburg right now.
And your career outside of the military?
Career outside the military. I have an insurance agency for Country Financial in Glenelg, Illinois. I've been doing that for 22 years.
Nice. And that keeps you busy, obviously, between your military career and that.
Keeps me exceptionally busy, but it's a lot of fun both ways.
And one last thing before we finish this segment. I know that you are a personal friend of our great mayor, Steve Morley. Growing up, you have any stories you want to share about, Mayor Morley that the general public might like to hear?
I've known Steve since freshman year in high school. He stood up in my wedding. I stood up in his. I don't know anything about Steve Morley's background otherwise.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like a special ops guy.
Three letters, CIA. Yeah. or CYA. That's more like it.
CYA sounds better.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll take a quick break here on the lowdown, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here and letting us talk about the military ball and what we do.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything, unlike anything.
Hi, this is Pamela Dunley. As president and CEO of Elmhurst Hospital, I know that sometimes laughter can be the best medicine. When I need a good laugh, I tune into the E-Town Lowdown, and you should too. Give it a try.
We're back here on the Lowdown with our special guest from the Elmhurst American Legion Post, Commander John Scudder and Sergeant-at-Arms Bill Shanklin. We've got a couple of other guests joining us. We've got Paul Mason and Mark Mulliner, both of which were involved with the Cool Cars effort that's been rekindled and is at the Elmhurst American Legion. Robbie, why don't you kick it off?
All right. Tell us about the history of Cool Cars in Elmhurst and when did it get going?
We were the oldest running car show in Illinois up to the time that we canceled it because of the constructions in Elmhurst. But it was it's about 20 years old, and it was the biggest at that time.
Did it take off from the beginning when you started it, or did it take a while to really gain momentum years ago?
It kind of took off. It was unique. We were one of the first cities to start doing it, and we had a lot of radio stations wanting to get involved, and so they were showing, spots on the radios all the time, and they got a lot of car clubs and people involved, and they all came.
Yeah, there was a lot of activity in town when that was going on in its heyday, and what happened to it then? You mentioned construction. What was that all about?
Well, Elmhurst started building bigger and bigger, and they just couldn't find us what I called a nest, someplace to sit, settle down and let that many cars get together. So we cut back on and where we were having it. We were downsizing, and finally it was just where we were put, they were building, so we canceled it for a couple of years.
Do you remember what year that ended approximately?
It was about 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no fun having your beautiful car get covered with construction dust or whatever.
No, and some of the city people just didn't understand that when I went to talk to them about that.
Yeah.
And, Mark, you were involved in trying to resurrect this. How did that all come about?
Well, York High School is having a 100th anniversary for their high school this year, and one of the things that happened at one of the groups that we got together with, we were sitting around chatting about maybe doing a car show for the high school for the anniversary, the 100th anniversary. And as we sat back and started thinking about where we could have it, the idea of, hey, let's promote the American Legion as we're doing this, and let's see if we can pull it back together and do it more than just for that one anniversary date. And we talked to the American Legion, talked to John and Bill, and they said, hey, let's try this and see how it works.
Nice. So we're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Not killing. raising.
Yeah. Now we're teaching.
Yes.
We're teaching. Yeah. Who else helps with the effort of planning other than you gentlemen here?
We have a couple of guys that were with Cool Cars from the inception, and I brought them along, and they organized parking the cars and coming up with the themes for the night.
How successful has it been so far?
With hardly any advertisement, the first night kicked off with 60 cars. We had over 100 and something people there, so it was pretty good. The second night, it kind of, again, we had a good turnout, but the weather turned on us, so we had to, they all ran.
And who can bring a car?
Anybody that's, wants to show their car. We have theme nights we have nice cars that show up and unique cars too. So it's good for the whole family.
And how
do you serve
has it
food?
Been? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you serve food and beverage?
Yeah, the American Legion really helped us out by having food for $5. And, for the ladies, that we've got nice area that they could sit and while their husbands are looking at the cars.
Can I smoke cigars there?
Outside.
Outside. There you go.
15 feet away from the door.
Yeah.
Let's make it 30.
But I heard you say $5 whatever, and then you guys do $5 lunches. It sounds like the best place in town to get a meal is at the American Legion.
It certainly is, and the people just line up for this food at this car show.
Really?
And one of the things, and Paul brought this to my attention, is this is a great place to hold a car show because the cars are outside, people can look at it, but they also can come into our facility, of course, get to see what it is, but it's air-conditioned, it's clean.
Yes.
It's
dry.
Food. It's dry. They have a...
Well, dry in one sense. It's not raining. It's not dry. But
yeah.
It's
bathrooms.
And the bathrooms are right there, so people can come in and really
and
enjoy it. And the bar also.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't know about they that.
Do. There's also a bar. Did you mention that?
Yeah, there's a bar there.
Did you know there's a bar there?
Yes, my wife's the bartender.
It sounds like it was built to be a place for a car show.
It is. It really
all
is.
All the right stuff, yeah.
Plus a nice sergeant at arms. It's very welcoming.
Well, the first night we had it, they welcomed us by having a full color guard, and we had a couple of press people there, and they took shots, and it was really nice to be welcomed that way when we haven't had it in Elmhurst for so many years, to be welcomed back at the American Legion.
Well, right now the forecast for Thursday is 75, sunny, and no rain.
Good. So it's going to be a great night.
Yes, it is.
When's the last evening we're going to do this? October 20?
October 11th.
October 11th. Well, we have a surprise for you scheduled on that. We'll have a color
surprise,
guard for you.
Surprise. Yeah. That's only a Gomer Pyle. Surprise.
Yeah.
Mark, are you going to bring your Toyota to the next?
No, I will not. My wife will.
No.
But
Paul,
I won't be bringing
can
it.
Can he bring his Toyota?
No, we don't let Toyotas in.
yes,
not Mark's Toyota, at least.
Do you let people bring Audis there?
No,
yes.
No, because
yes.
Those fall apart. The transmissions stop working on them.
No, they're good
cars.
Oh,
you remember that story. Okay.
We welcome all the cars. Even if it's not the theme night, we park them on the side, and we've had Cadillac Club show up. They've been a real strong supporter. We have a lot of guys with Corvettes. And then, of course, whatever the theme night is, they all show up, and we park them right in the front. So everybody going down Butterfield, coming off of Spring, can see them.
What themes have you had so far, and what themes are coming up?
We had 50s, 60s, and 70s. We call that sexy 50s, 60s, and 70s. The next one is we've got fab 70s, 80s, and 90s. We've got Muscle Car Night. That's we've correct. Got our York High School Alumni Night. And then Come One, Come All, which is the rainout night. It's our last one.
Tell us about the York Alumni Night, Mark.
That night will be on a Monday night because that's going to kick off the York alumni meeting that they're going to have, and that will be the same thing. It'll be over there at the American Legion. We've invited all the people who are coming into town because there's quite a number of people coming in to come down and see the car show and enjoy the car show. We're hoping to have a 1918 car, and we're hoping that maybe we can get a 2018 car there as well.
Wow. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a neat idea?
Who do we ask about that?
I don't know.
I know where you can buy one.
We'll just rent one for the night.
They also have a 1918 graduate showing up there, too.
Wow. But I've got to see that.
Actually, you do have
Bill,
a...
No, Bill did not go to York High School.
Wait a second.
You do have an automotive historian from Elmhurst. Mike Therian is there on hand to answer anybody's questions.
Yeah, he's the Mopar nut.
Yeah.
One of our classmates.
Yeah.
There you go.
Spirit of 76.
It was a good year.
1876.
What about radio stations? Do you invite them to join you there?
We've had a couple
publicity.
That do live shots on the street. They would bring the girls and give out trinkets and trash and advertise us. It was pretty good.
We would next year. Our intent is to hope to try to do it at least every other week, or hopefully every week, if we can do it from Memorial Day through Labor Day. And if we're able to pull that off, that'll make it a little bit easier to bring in more radio stations and be a little more consistent.
It does seem like if you do it every week, then people will get it in their head that that's where they can go, kind of thing.
Yeah, there is other suburbs around us that will have our nights, and if we can lure them away, the way Elmhurst did. We really commanded a good audience. We'll get it back again.
Nice.
How far away do you draw for the cars that come there?
We've had guys come from like Crystal Lake and way out downtown Chicago. We've had them from one guy came in from Rockford. We've got some guys that own like James Bond car, Magnum PI, Mad Max Thunderdome,
Ferrari.
yeah, they've had all those cars have been there. We've got a guy that owns the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang replica.
Really?
From Mary Poppins, and he brought that down. And we've had a lot of replicas.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang from Mary Poppins.
Poppins, yeah.
Really? That's where
Chitty Chitty... Well, not Mary Poppins. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's got the same people in it, yeah.
Two different movies.
Yeah, there we go.
Close.
Tuppence. There we go.
So, one thing that I'll say is that one of the real benefits to where we have it, and one of the things that we do need to mention is that there's been two other very big supporters of ours, and that's the Community Bank, because they're right next to it, and they've helped provide parking, and we've also got the Orthopedics right behind, and the Elmhurst Orthopedics, and they also have helped to provide some parking. So that's helped out a lot, because it gives us a lot bigger area to put cars.
They both appreciate those plugs, I'm sure. And Paul, tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, how you got involved, and about your family.
Elmhurst, again, went to York High School, went to COD, got into the automotive business, worked for Larry Roche, went for Scudder Buick, went to Long Chevrolet. So I'm a dealer brat. I work for Auto Nation now. I started more or less collecting the antiques, and Mike, my best man, Mike Theory, and he went and got into muscle cars. So we just stayed together. And when Elmhurst started Cool Cars, it was a no-brainer. I was there for the inception of it, and I asked who was running it and who I could help, and got involved. And from being a guy just parking the cars, I ended up running the whole show for them.
Mark, you're a longtime Elmhurst resident and a longtime alderman.
Yeah, I was born and raised here. We graduated together, Paul
yeah.
and I.
Yeah.
And actually, Mike, we mentioned, Mike and I went to kindergarten together.
Really?
How come you look so much older than Paul?
I wonder. I don't know. I think it's being that alderman.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, all of you, for being here today. We appreciated your time and enjoyed learning more about the Elmhurst American Legion Post, Commander Scudder, and Sergeant-at-Arms Shanklin, we appreciate your time and appreciate your service to our country.
Thank you for your service,
thanks,
gentlemen.
For your service.
Thank you. More than welcome.
And maybe we'll have you back someday to tell us about your next success story. So thanks so much for your time.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world at 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.